Reading from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first division, second chapter, verse 220. Atayata vibhava mahotsava yata padme. Padma Purana is describing observing festivals according to one's wealth, vibhav. O king, he who performs a festival for the temple of the Lord experiences for eternity a festival in the planet of the Lord. In other words, if one sponsors some Janmashtami festival or Dol Yatra, Julan Yatra, some big deity festival, then he will, by giving that charity and making that arrangement for the pleasure of the Lord, then the Lord will make an arrangement for that devotee to also have a festive life in the spiritual world. And they say like that in Brahma Samhita. Lord Brahma, when he peeked into Vaikuntha, he saw that everybody was enjoying. Every step was a dance. All the words were like singing. This is in Brahma Samhita. So he was remarking that everyone was dancing and enjoying a festival. So this is situation when one pleases the Lord and gives something to the Lord returns the same to us. And it works that way even in Karmakanda. If someone makes arrangements, if that someone's a very wealthy person and they donate their money to build a hospital, make arrangements to distribute medicine to poor people, then what happens in next life, that person is blessed with chikitsava. That means good health or something. Chikitsa means they're blessed with good health, very healthy body, because they gave health to others, they gave charity. Or if someone is a bani, a very wealthy man, and he makes arrangements to build a Sanskrit vidyalaya, he builds a Sanskrit vidyalaya in charity and sponsors the Sanskrit education, and then the next life he'll be very learned. Saraswati will bless him. So here, Rupa Goswami is saying that if one uses his wealth, according to his wealth, he uses his wealth to honor the Lord, Utsav, Maha Utsav, great festival, Mahotsav, then he will be promoted to Vaikuntha and he will experience joy at every moment. He will enter a land of festivals. Because Vaikuntha is a land of festivals. If you want to know what it's like to live in Vaikuntha, then simply move to Udupi. Move to Udupi or move to Sri Rangam, these places in South India. And they're really it's a replica of Vaikuntha. The Lord is the center of the town. He's the center of everyone's life. And all the time there's a festival. There's the Ekadasi festival and this festival and the Amavasya festival and the Purnima festival and the Spring festival and Dola Yatra and Julan Yatra and Rath Yatra and the festival of Shayan Leela, putting the Shalagrams to rest, and Uttani Ekadasi, waking up the Shalagrams and taking them on a Rath cart. These are all festivals in the Puran. So these old temples of India where they're so much absorbed in Vaikuntha Bhav and worshipping the deity, it's just like being in Vaikuntha. If someone was to leave this world and enter Vaikuntha, they would see the Lord Vishnu. That's when they would have darshan. The people would see darshan of Lord Vishnu, not the Murti, but the real Lord, Sakshat Vishnu, when he would come out for these various festivals and people would take part. So it's what's going on here would be the same there. But for devotees, we arrange, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we also follow this principle from Padma Puran. But our intention is that we're not desiring to go to Vaikuntha and engage in all kinds of festivals. For us, Seva itself is a festival. Serving the Lord is the only festival we want. Because these promotions are there in Vedic literatures to induce people to do it. If someone has a lot of money, they say, oh, you have all this money, why don't you make an arrangement for the temple, a big festival for the temple. And if you do this, you'll be promoted. You'll go to Vaikuntha and you can enjoy a festival. Everyone likes dancing and nice music and big festival. And they're motivated because it sounds like good gratification for me, good sense gratification for me. I'll help the Lord have a good time, and the Lord will help me have a good time eternally. Eternally, I'll go to the land of good times. But devotees, you see quite the different motivation and different mentality of the true lover of the Lord. The true Premi Bhakta is not calculating in his devotion and not approaching the Lord to derive anything or to extract anything. He will just simply wants to serve the Lord. Seva, 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 and more seva. Das, das, anudas. Das, das, anudas means give me seva, give me seva, give me seva. So for the Gaudiya, his perfection is simply to be fixed in some service at the lotus feet of the Lord. Ayananda tanajakin karam patiram vamishameva vamvado. And in fact, when one is serving the Lord with a pure heart and a pure attitude of submission, then what happens is the devotees feel great happiness. And there's so many stories that when the devotees are fanning the Lord, they're simply rendering the service of fanning the Lord. It's not an utsav, it's not a mahotsav. It's just a daily service of fanning the Lord while he's taking prasadam or whenever, some chamra whisk. And what happens when the devotees are fanning the Lord, they start to experience ecstatic bliss. They start to feel thrilled throughout their body. Some septic bhavs come. Then what is the response of the devotees? Do they say, I'm really there. Are you there? I'm there. I'm really feeling it. Do you feel it? Oh, yeah. There's tingling coming up my back. My fingers are trembling and my eyes are watering. I think I'm experiencing some septic bhavs while I'm worshipping the Lord and fanning Krishna and the kunja or whatever. But what do we find happens throughout the Vedas? It says when the devotee, the true lover of the Lord, if he's feeling any bliss in his service, and that bliss starts to interrupt his service or interfere with his ability to execute his service perfectly and correctly, then he curses that ecstasy. He says, this bliss should go away. I don't want this bliss. I don't want to tremble and cry. I just want to fan the Lord. This is my agya, my guru agya. My guru has ordered this service. And I'm not here to enjoy and have a festival, but I'm here to serve. That's my pleasure. That's my happiness. So this is the ultimate utsav or maha utsav is simply the unconditional, unmotivated, ahoitiki apratiyata. This Bhagavat Bhakti Ahoitiki Apratiyata. Bhagavat Bhakti Ahoitiki Apratiyata. Mahaprabhu says, this is the ultimate festival. Utsav, Maha Utsav, Mahotsav. He says, Vaibhava Mahotsav. Using all one's wealth for the observance of big festivals for the Lord. This is the 57th principle of devotion. So that's from the Padma Puran. This applies across the board to all Vaishnavas. Generally, the Grihastha section, society, they are generating the income in the Varnashram Dharma. The Brahmacharis, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis, they have no income. They're basically in a retired or dependent position. So money is not in their hands. So Grihastas are the earning section of society. And they're enjoined throughout the Vedas to give all kinds of dan. Anadan, Pani dan, so many dans, Kanya dan, all kinds of charities they're encouraged to give. And those charities, as I mentioned, they give their material benefits and results here in this world, in this body, which continues our sojourn in samsara. But in the Vaishnava Puranas, the Puranas, Sattvic Puranas, they teach, okay, you have to give charity. You're duty-bound as a Grihastha to give charity, to give your wealth, but you should direct it towards Bhagavan. Give for the Lord, to worship the Lord, and give for the Lord's devotees. This way you'll get Akshaya Phal. You'll get unlimited, imperishable results. You will go to Vaikuntha. This is the greatest reward. So this is the indication that the Sattvic Puranas are pointing us towards the worship of Vishnu. Vishnu worship brings moksha. Dharmartha moksha. But the other Puranas, the Rajasic and Tamasic Puranas, worshipping various devatas, they give us rebirth. Elevation, Swarga Mukti or Swarga Sukh or Indriya Sukh or high birth in this planet, but still rebirth. So we, our angle, we see this verse and we say, yes, Hari Mahotsav. So the Mahotsav is Seva. Unmotivated, unconditional Bhagavad Bhakti. We don't want to draw any payment. We simply want to be fixed in that perfect position. Once, I think it was Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. It was Mudia Purnima or Guru Purnima when Sanatan Goswami left this world. This is in the first Purnima in Chaturmasya. It's called Guru Purnima, Vyas Purnima. This is also the day that Sanatan Goswami of his Tirobhav. So I believe it was Gaurakishore. He said to his servant, or maybe Jagannath Das, one of the two, he said, today we're going to have a big utsav. We're going to have a grand utsav, maha utsav, to worship our great acharya, our great Mahajan Acharya, Sanatan Goswami. And so the servant was thinking, what is my Guru Maharaj talking about? Because utsav, you have mahotsav, it means lots of prasadam distribution. It means arrangements for some pandal or some stage and bandara, feeding Vaishnavas and some Bhagavat pot and Brahmins coming and some puja and yajna, homa and all kinds of expenses and arrangements to have a mahotsav. As you see in various places when there's Janmashtami, so much expenditure of money and energy to worship the Lord. There's parades, there's bands, there's entertainment, spiritual entertainment, bhajan, movies, prasad, new outfits, pandals, so many things. So then the servant said, how are we going to have a big festival? We have nothing. You're a Madhukari Bhava Vairagi. He said, today we will hold a grand festival. We have a grand festival, Mahotsav, to worship Sanatan Goswami. So then the servant was a little perplexed and he was thinking, oh, what is this? He said, what is your idea exactly, Guru Maharaj or Gaurakishore? What is your idea of this Mahotsav you're going to have to honor Sanatan Goswami? He said, you and I will sit down and we will chant the holy name all day. You will sit next to me in front of Tulsi and we'll just chant Nirbanda. We'll just keep chanting. Nirantara Nam Lao. Nirantara Nam Lao. We will take the holy name without stopping. And this will be our grand festival to worship our Param Param Guru, Sanatan Goswami. This is a very low-budget idea of a Mahotsav. Simply sit down, chant the holy name all day. So this is the 57th principle. And now the 58th principle is right close to home, quite appropriate. This is the 58th principle. Urja daro yata padme. This in Padma Purana talks about observing the Urja Brat. That's right now. That's Damodar Mas. Yata Damodaro Bhakta Vatsalo Vidito Jane Tasya Yam Tadrisho Masaha Sopamap Yuruk Karakaha. It's quoted in Padma Purana. Everyone knows that Lord Damodar is affectionate to his devotees. Damodar Bhakta Vatsal Vidito Jane. Vidito knows Jana. The Jana, everyone knows Ved, that Damodar Krishna, he is Bhakta Vatsal. He's very affectionate to his devotees. And similarly, the month of Damodar, the Damodar Mas, is also affectionate to the devotee. Swapam apyuru karaka. Even a swapam, even a little service performed during Damodar month will give one great results. So this is the month that we're in, and I was hearing, second time I heard this point, hearing this morning Srila Prabhupada was lecturing. It was some conversation, 1976. He was telling someone in Hyderabad, he said, yes, we will be observing our Urjabrata beginning on Ekadasi. It was 1976. It says, why don't you come with us to Vrindavan? We'll be observing our Urjabrata beginning on Ekadasi. That's one point. That was 1976. And then another, the obvious one is 1972 with the Nectar Devotion lecture series, which are so sweet and relishable. Srila Prabhupada, Pradyumna is reading from the Nectar Devotion English, and Prabhupada is commenting. All the devotees are gathered in the courtyard at Radhadamodar Mandir between Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir Rupa Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada is facing north. On his right-hand side is Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. Behind him is a temple. He's facing northern direction, very auspicious direction to face when speaking, as we are also doing. Not that there's any coincidence, but occasionally we try to follow in the footsteps of our spiritual master. So he was down the road a piece, let's say, in Seva Kunj, and sitting with the devotees, speaking on the Nectar Devotion and the Urja month. So at that time, when he wrote a letter then to Shamsundar in London, and I think it was also, there was a letter sent to George Harrison, Prabhupada invited him. He said, why don't you come and join us? We will be coming to Vrindavan. We will be observing the Urjabrata in Vrindavan at the Radhadamodar Temple beginning on Ekadasi. So please, why don't you join us? So these are two incidences where, of course, Prabhupada began this Kartik Brata on Ekadasi. Personally observed it in Radhadamodar for the whole month in 72, and then for some time in 76 he was also here. I'm not sure, maybe the whole month. So this Urja is a name for Radharani. She's known as Urjeshwari. Urjeshwari. Urja means powers, potencies, abilities, talents, skills, forces. The goddess, the queen of forces, the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. So she's the queen of the forces of Krishna. She's the commander, she's the queen. And rather, she's very commanding also. Radharani commands Krishna. Oh, Krishna, dress me. You've made me look a mess. Redress me exactly like I was before you began your Kandarpa Utsav. Krishna also has festivals. Krishna also holds festivals as Radharani. They're called Kandarpa Utsav. This means the festival of Cupid. This is the Sanskrit word that's used. And Radharani says, listen, Krishna, you've invited the deity. You've installed the deity and you've held a Kandarpa Mahotsav. Now will you please put the deity back and redress the deity as it was before the festival? This is a very poetic and beautiful way which the Mahajans describe Krishna's amorous affairs with his divine consort, Srimati Radhika. So there's also, Krishna's also observing festivals to in the home of, it says here, the previous verse is Hari Grihe. It says one should perform a festival in the temple of the Lord. So that means Mandir. So like Vaikuntha Vishnu lives in the Mandir. And that's his home. But Krishna lives in Nikunja Mandir. You read in the poetry of Rupa Goswami, he says, Nibrita Nikunja Mandir. Nibrita Nikunja Mandir. Nibrita means lonely, quiet, confidential, secret. Nikunja Mandir. Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Siddhai. So Krishna himself is holding wonderful festivals for Hara. The Nectar Devotion says we should have wonderful festivals to worship Hari in his home. And Krishna himself is having wonderful festivals to worship Radharani, Hara, in the Nikunja Mandir. That's another way we can look at it. So this Urja, or Jayashri Radha, she is the presiding goddess of this month, or Jayashri. This is Urja month, and there's so much power. Urja means power. Power, force, potency. Shakti. So what is the power in this month? The power of this month is Bhaktivatsalya. This month is all about the affection of the Lord and his devotees. This is the month of love. This is the of all the 12 months, this is the love month. This is the month, of course, Chaitran Vaishak. Chaitran Vaishak, the time of Vasant Ras, Gita Govinda, Vasant Ras, Chaitran Vaishak. These, of course, are the most loving months of the year by tradition, because Chaitran Vaishak, this is springtime, and this is when the season is very much conducive to love, and all the Udipans are exciting. All the environment, the beautiful southern breezes start to come, flower-scented breeze, buzzing of bees, the singing of the cuckoos, the kokils, and all these different Udipans, or natural stimulants, come awake and arise in the spring season. So it's a season of love, Chaitran Vaishak. But that's love for itself and by itself. Radha and Krishna are relishing so much intimate sweetness. There's not much distribution there. But here, in the later part of the year, is a time of distribution. Because in the later part of the year, we have Sharad Purnima, we have Kartik Purnima, and then we have the Margashirsha Purnima. So in Ashwin Maina, the Rasa Purnima, there's distribution of love because it's Maharas dance in Vrindavan. The Vasant Ras is only for Radharani and her gopis, but the Maharas dance, so all these things happen. September, October, November, this is the time, these are the months when love is distributed. Because September is Ashwin Maina, Purnima, and this is Maharas dance of the Bhagavatam, Rasa Panchadaya. And this is when all the sadhana siddha gopis and the Municharis and Rishicharis, this is when they enter the Rasa dance. So they receive the affection of the Lord. The kindness of the Lord was given to them at this time. Then the next thing we have is Kartik Purnima. So in Kartik month, that is when Mother Yashoda received the affection of the Lord. Then next month is Mrigashirsha Purnima. And this is when Krishna came and stole the garments of the gopis, Gopi Vastraharana. Again, reciprocating, showing, displaying his affection for his devotees, his Bhaktivatsalya. So of these 3 months, Ashwin, Kartik, and Mrigashirsha, which are the love-distributing months, where the Lord distributes his affection, Damodar is supreme. And that's what's being mentioned here. It says the Damodar Mas. It says, everyone knows that Krishna, the Damodar, Krishna, he is Bhaktivatsal. He's very affectionate to his devotees. And the month of Damodar is the most affectionate month. This is when the affection of the Lord is freely and easily distributed. So that is why Srimati Radharani is the goddess of this month, because she's the most kind-hearted. She represents the kindness of Krishna's heart, the compassion of Krishna's heart. And that is the force. She is the goddess of force, forces, the commander of the forces, Urja Ishvari, or Jayshri. She is the controller of the powers of the Lord. So what are the powers of the Lord? There's so many vibhutis and powers of the Lord. And parasya shaktira vidaya shriyate sobhavaki jnana balakriyacha. There's so many powers of the Lord. And vibhutis. Vibhuti mat sattvam. But the greatest power of the Lord is his love potency, the power of love, prem shakti. And Radharani is the queen of this potency. She's Urjeshri. Urjeshri means she's the controller of this potency. She is the Prem Guru of Krishna, and she is the Prem Shakti of Krishna, the Mahabhav Shakti, the Mahabhav. So Radharani is distributing this Prem, the special Braja Prem in Kartik month. That's what we come here for. That's what we're hoping to attain. Because she is the goddess of this potency, this power, Urjeshri. And Urja month is her month for distributing the greatest affection of the Lord and the greatest power of the Lord. Because the Lord has so many powers himself, so many unlimited powers, unlimited Ananta Shakti Bhagavan. But when he faces the opposition of the love power of his devotees, he gets defeated. His Swatantra gets defeated by the devotees. He's independent. His Swatantra says, Yame Bhakti Paradino. There's one verse. It says, Yame Bhakti Paradino, that I become controlled, Swatantra. It says Aswatantra. He Because I lose my independence before the love of my devotees. I lose my independence, and I become controlled by the love of my devotees. So this Prem Shakti is more powerful than God. So though he has all these powers, the power of love is supreme. And the supreme goddess of the power of love is Srimati Radharani. Therefore, she's Urjeshwari. So before Radharani's love, Krishna submits, yes, I will dress you. Oh, you've had this Gandharva Utsav, and now my hair is disarrayed, my clothes are rumpled and crumpled. Please, you brush my hair, you braid my hair, you decorate, you pick some flowers, you put some bakul flowers in my hair, you put my kajal back on, you put my lipstick, everything back on. Do as I say. Not like this, like this. And the mandris correct him. So in this way, Krishna becomes the servant of his devotee's dream. So this is this special month that's being glorified. Swapam, even a little service performed here yields great results. So the Jiva Goswami gives an example of how to observe Kartik Vrata. He says one should attend Mangalartik. These are some basic practices. Attend Mangalartik, bathe early, Prataksnan, from 6 a.m. to 8:20. Recite the Dhammadharashtakam, offer a ghee lamp, recite the Bhagavatam. These are daily principles, a niyam. So this word Dhammadhar. Dhammadhar is one of the most beautiful words describing the Lord in relation to his devotees. Of course, the best word to describe Bhagavan, the best nam, or Bhagavat nam, of course, that completely defines the Lord and extinguishes Vrindavan, the Lord of Vrindavan, from any other form or expansion of the Lord, is the word Krishna. And Bhagavat Sandarbha and so many other places, this has been very particularly described, minutely described, why Krishna is the most complete name of the Lord in terms of all aspects, in terms of rasa, in terms of prema, in terms of power, identity, all siddhanta, all these things, the word Krishna. And that contains the word Krishna contains everything, A to Z. So therefore, when Radharani is feeling great viraha, or separation from Krishna, she thinks, oh, there's Vishnu Sahasranam, there's 1,000 names of Vishnu, there's Gopal Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Gopal. There's so many thousands and thousands of names I can cry out and call out to express the pain of separation that's burning and searing my heart. But the only one that's the best one of all the thousands of names of the Lord is Krishna. So then Mahaprabhu is crying out. In Radhabhav, separation from Radha, from Krishna, Radharani is going everywhere, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So the name Dhammadhar, the speciality, or the Vishesh Gun, the special quality of this Nam, Dhammadhar, is that it describes this feature of love. Dhammadhar means he, that form of Bhagavan who is bound by his devotee's love. And Dhammadhar is that form of the Lord who binds his devotees with his love. So it's a mutual binding. I tie you up and you tie me up. And we both become mutually bound and tied to each other. Irreversibly tied. Nothing can break that rope. Nothing can break the bondage between the devotee and the Lord. No one, no thing, no one, no place, no circumstance. When Krishna was tied by Mother Yashoda, the coward boys, they thought, let us untie him. He's our friend. He's tied up. It's so embarrassing. They couldn't do it. They couldn't touch her love because their love is Sakya Prem, Sakya Rati, which is not as deep and profound and powerful as Vatsalya Bhav. Then Nanda Maharaj said, oh, what is this? Who has done this? And then he said, Ma. Krishna said, Ma. And he said, what? I will chastise her for this. How can she bind you? But then he couldn't untie either. So this is a situation that love is so binding that no one can break the bondage of love between the Lord and his devotee. So this Dhammadhar brings all these thoughts to the heart of the devotee that my Lord is so wonderful, my Lord is so great that that I can bind him with my love, with my bhakti vatsalya. I can tie up and control the Lord and keep him forever bound in my heart. And he will never leave my heart. And my Lord is also Damodara because he binds me up, he ties me up with his love. The month is affectionate, just as Damodara is affectionate. A little service to Damodara becomes multiplied if performed during this month. That's another meaning of Uru. If you break it up in different ways, Urja becomes Urukaraka. That's a phrase in this Sanskrit verse. Tasyaham tadrisho masa swapam apyuru karaka. Uru karaka. Means a person, but in this case, the month that who accepts something very small and makes it big, like a person who feels extremely indebted and performs great actions for another person. For example, so this word, Urukaraka, it's like Urukram, one who does amazing activities or similar. So this generally applies to a person, but in this case, Padma Purana is using this word, Urukram, or Urukaraka, to describe a mass, a month, a mina, the month of Kartik, or this Urja mass. Generally applies to a person. If you do some small favor for a person, then he returns it manyfold. For example, maybe someone was going to university and they were studying and they came to you and said, I can't afford my last year's schooling. Can you help me out? They say, how much? Well, it's like $10,000. So can I take a loan? And then you say, no, you're my cousin, you're my friend, whatever. You take this $10,000, you finish your education, and don't worry about it. Although you may not be very wealthy, but somehow you manage the $10,000 to help your relative. Maybe you've even sacrificed a little bit here and there. You sacrifice your vacation, whatever, because you have feelings. So you donated that $10,000, and he finished his schooling. Now this person you gave the $10,000 to, he starts a company called Microsoft. He starts a company called Microsoft. Probably heard about this company. And he goes on to make billions and billions of dollars. His name is Mr. B. Gates. And then he thinks, if it wasn't for my friend that lent me $10,000 to finish my education, I wouldn't be where I am today. So then he calls you up and says, remember me? Long ago when I was in university, you lent me $10,000. Well, I just want to give something in return. And the person, no, that was a gift. You're my friend. I have a lot of money, and I know your wife has always been pestering you for a big house, this, that. So, and you never quite had the money to satisfy her because wives are like that. You can never have enough money to satisfy them. So, I'm going to put $10 million. I'm going to give you $10 million in your account. So then you gave a little donation to help him out, and then it turned around and gave you $10 million. So that's what Urukaraka means. You help someone a little bit, and they help you a lot in return, a whole lot. And you say, oh, it's nothing. No, I really take this. And if you're a charitable person by nature, and you give charity here and there, often you may even have this experience. You help someone out here and there, and all of a sudden it comes back unbelievably. And then you have more, then you have to do more charity. So now this month of Damodara is like that. If we do a little bit, if you give a little bit to this person, this personified month, Urukaraka, if we do a little bit, just a ghee lamp every day at the feet of Radha Gopinath, we offer a ghee lamp every day to Radhakund, then that little, what's a little ghee? Little ghee, a few grams of ghee, 50 grams of ghee, or 100 grams of ghee, some cotton, and some matchsticks. It's only a few rupees. But it's your devotion, and you take the time out, and you came here, and you offer that, and you get tremendous benefit, unbelievable return. So that's what's being presented here. Kartik gives great benefit. It takes what is meager and makes it significant. The month of Damodara is a future giver of huge results for a little service. Vishnu Chakravarti says, Just as Damodar is known to be affectionate to devotees, the month of Damodar is affectionate, yields great results for little service. Taking the excuse of the little service as some sort of huge debt, the month generously wipes out the debt with great rewards. It's a good time to do devotional business. When there's a little service, it can produce great results. Listen to the encouragement here. The month of Damodar is called Kartik month. Being very affectionate to devotees is able to produce great benefits even by only little service. So this is the encouragement here. Well, of course, we're here, and we have the fortune to render some service here. Even just sitting here, what we're doing now is greatly appreciated by the Lord. And we'll get so much return to help us become more attached to the Lord and more dedicated to the Lord. It's usually devotees, when they come and spend the Kartik Vrat in Vrindavan, after they leave Vrindavan, if they do leave, and go to another country or where from whence they came from, and when they get back to their country, then they, after some time, they actually feel that something happened, that really something special happened in Kartik. And with that feeling that an experience they have, increasing their devotion, then they want to run back again for the next Kartik. And once you've attended one Kartik, you never want to miss another one. And that's how most devotees feel.